morning. Can you all hear me? Yeah? Fine. It's a real joy to be here this morning and to share the Word of God with you. You as a church have been supporting us in our work in Sri Lanka, and we really appreciate that. I remember just over a year ago, November of 2022, you all were so gracious, and you all organized a walk for the Sri Lanka work among the widows. And I believe there was about 25 people that were involved in that walk. I joined you all, my wife and I joined you all, and we walked about 45 minutes or so. And it was hard to keep up with some of the people, but it was great. So thank you so much for the way you have stood, partnered with us and stood behind our work these past years. I've chosen a passage to speak on, and I titled this message, Running the Race. I'll share about Sri Lanka in the last few minutes. I'm not sure how much I'm able to get through with my sermon, but hopefully in the last 5 minutes or so, I'd like to share some pictures and just give a little gist of what we are doing in Sri Lanka. So this passage that was read to us by our brother, Acts chapter 20, verse 12 to 24. And you can see that one of the Greek word for race is to strive, to toil, to make every effort. And the New Testament, running the race is compared to living the Christian life as a true disciple of Jesus Christ, faithfully, diligently, making every effort to finish well as a champion, as a Christian. I'd like to start off by asking a question. I don't want to offend anybody here, but as a Christian, are you running the race to be a champion for Jesus today? And I ask that same question for myself. Or are you wasting your life, caught up in the whole climbing the success ladder and in the corporate world or in any kind of work that we are involved in? Is our desire for money, power, positions, has that distracted us from running the race to become a champion for Jesus? Or are we, as Paul said here, saying in his from his life, what he said in verse 24, "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." When I was 20 years of age, goes back many years, over 50 years ago, when I was back in Sri Lanka, God placed a desire in my heart to be involved in missions. And my desire was to tell about Jesus in places where nobody had heard about Jesus, even for the first time. And right at that time, I was also working as an apprentice in engineering. And there was a scholarship that was offered to me with about four or five others to go to England and to be trained in the main factory there. And but I found out that if I went on this scholarship, I had to sign a contract to say that I will come back and work back in Sri Lanka in the company I was working in. And so I decided and prayed about this. And I was really torn in my heart. But as I read the scriptures, there was a few verses that really touched me. And that was in Matthew chapter 16, where it is written, Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. And verse 26, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? For some reason, I sense in my heart these words spoke very strongly in my heart, and that God wanted me to resign, forget the scholarship, and go into missions and share his name in places where he was not known. It was really tough to leave my mother and my father and my friends, but I knew that God was nudging me in my heart to go. Maybe taking such radical steps may not be for everyone, but it was for me at that time. I sensed it. And I look back these last 52 years, and I can 100% or more can say how God has been faithful and looked after me and my family and blessed us in so many ways. Now, looking at this passage that was read to us, I'd like to share some background information first to help us to understand the context better to this passage. Apostle Paul is in a hurry. He's heading to Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. He and his disciples sail past Ephesus, and for some reason, they didn't want to stop in Ephesus. They sail past Ephesus, and they docked in a port called Miletus. And then Paul sends a messenger to Ephesus and says, call the elders and bring them to Miletus, to the port. I guess his time was precious. Paul's time was precious. And he was trying to head to Jerusalem. And so he wanted to say the last words, the final words. It's like the final goodbye to these elders of this church in Ephesus. And this account that was read to us is quite moving. And Paul speaks so openly and so intimately, really shares from his heart. And perhaps for these elders, Paul meant so much to him. And for Paul, these elders meant also much to him. That's why they made the 20-mile hike from Ephesus to come to Miletus and to meet with them. Paul had been in the city of Ephesus for about 3 years, teaching in the synagogues and in the hall of Tyrannus, a lecture hall, teaching the word of God night and day. It's amazing what he did there in those 3 years. He had a very successful ministry. And in the previous chapter, in Acts chapter 19, it says, all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of God. You know, the province of Asia today is known as Turkey. Turkey is a country when I joined OM, Operation Mobilization, and went on the ship Logos, we used to pray for Turkey quite often in our prayer meetings. And at that time, there was only about 50 believers in the whole country of Turkey. That was 1972. And today, they estimate roughly about maybe 4,000 believers. In these last 50 years, there's been some increase. And half of them have come to know Jesus through the Bible correspondent courses. And that OM, the mission that we work with, have been working with in the Bible correspondent courses. So it's amazing how God is moving in the country of Turkey. And then the city of Ephesus it was one of the main cities in the Mediterranean region. It was one of the most important trading centers. It was like the gateway to the rest of Asia. But it was also famous for a temple called Artemis. And people came from all over Turkey, even other surrounding countries, to worship this goddess called Artemis in this temple. Most of the temple was made out of marble. The statue was made out of marble, but they came and worshiped there. If you want to understand more about this, you have to read chapter 19, Acts 19, about Artemis. Perhaps this is one of the reasons why Paul gave his time of 3 years to preach there, to teach the word of God in the synagogue, in the synagogues and the lecture hall of Tyrannus. And because he saw there were so many false teachers, so many idols and shrines all over the place, he wanted to preach and say Jesus is the only way. And he wanted many to follow him, the Lord Jesus Christ. So eventually, Paul found the church in Ephesus, and he appointed these elders to oversee and to shepherd the flock. So this is some of the background to this account that we read. I actually have 3 points, but maybe the time will only give me for 2 points. Let's look at them. Running the race, I said this. My first point is running the race requires single-mindedness. The word single-mindedness is an old word that not many use it today. It is to be focused. Do or die, you're focused. Whatever the issue, you're not taking any steps of compromise. You are so focused, single-minded for that goal. You know, one of the highlights for me and my wife also is during the Summer Olympics is to watch the 100 meters dash, you know? And many people from all over the world anxiously watch on their TV sets, you know, when that 100 meters dash is going to take place. We want to see who is the fastest man on earth, who is going to be the champion, who is going to finish that line, breaking the record and taking that gold medal, you know. And some of us know some of the names who have done that in the past, like Usain Bolt and Donovan Bailey and so on. But long before they run that race, for 3 or 4 years, these athletes are training. They're focused, they're single-minded. You know, they train hard, they live a disciplined life, they have a special diet, doing proper exercises, timing their sprints under coaches, and making sure they get enough sleep and so on, all to win this prize, this gold medal, to become that champion. In other words, they are single-minded to run that race. They want to be in top shape, to compete and to excel, and even though the race is long way away. So they prepare diligently and with perseverance. So, just like that, when we live our Christian life, you know, we need to be single-minded in running the race. You know, especially in having our personal devotional time with the Lord,
doing good preparation, walking with God, in relationship with Him, to face the challenges and trials of each day. And so I'm really challenged by these words that Paul says to the church in Ephesus, to the leaders of Ephesus. He says, you know how I lived the whole time with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and tears. He says, you know how I lived from the first day until I left. You know. Remember, Paul lived in Ephesus for 3 years, as I said. His daily Christian behavior, both in public and also in private, must have really touched the church people in Ephesus. Paul's walk with God, his character, his relationship with people, how he's loving people, his ability to press on in spite of opposition, his passion to share the gospel to the lost so that they will come to know him, the Lord Jesus Christ. All this they must have seen in those 3 years. You know, the elders of the church of Ephesus, they found no grounds to point their finger negatively and say, Paul, you did this, you did that. But they highly esteemed him. He lived a life pleasing God. His eyes was fixed on Jesus. And then Paul says this. And what Paul, when he says, I serve the Lord with great humility and tears. Humility means you are aware of your unworthiness. You understand that apart from Christ, you are nothing. You know, and you can do nothing without Christ. And Paul understood that. And because of that humility, God used Paul to change the lives of many hundreds of people throughout his ministry. Once upon a time, he was destroying churches. He was putting Christians into prison before he came to know the Lord. He was a proud leader. Many hated him. He was a terrible persecutor. But one day on the journey to Damascus, he met with God. A light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground blind. And his life became dependent on his companions who had to lead him to Damascus after that. For 3 days, he did not eat or drink. Knowing his past and being a proud leader, he was now astonished that God would choose him to be an apostle. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, for I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. It's by God's grace, every day we get up, we are breathing, able to walk, we come to church, fellowship with people is God's grace. He also says, I serve the Lord not only with humility, but tears. And I sense the fact that in the city of Ephesus, there were so many silversmiths, magicians, false teachers. There were many worshiping idols and shrines. There were sorcerers and magicians. And they were making big money, making business. And so Paul must have seen all this, and his heart must have been moved, and he must have shed tears. And his heart was broken over this. You know, in my experience as a Christian and as a missionary, I have seen those whom God has used the most are the people who have gone through brokenness in their hearts. You know, when you are broken, God takes you through a time of humility and brokenness and denying self. And then the day comes when God uses you greatly. You know, there was a great man called, a great preacher in Scotland, who died at the age of 29. His name was called Robert Murray McChain. And if ever you go to his church, and they will show you, it is said, they will show you the stool where he spent hours in prayer. And then they will come, take you to the pulpit and show the big Bible where he preached from. And they will show the stains on that pages where Murray McChain used to weep for Scotland and weep for the people who were lost. And such was a dear man. He died just when he was 29 years of age because of sickness. So I always remember Murray McChain, and he was an amazing man. You and I are we shedding tears for this beautiful city of Vancouver? So many people who are lost. Almost every year, one of the top three, five cities in the world as one of the best places to live. But what about Jesus in this city? There are many walking without knowing our Lord. And are we taking steps in sharing the gospel, the good news, with people who do not know him? I love to tell the story of William Carey. He was a cobbler. And he was from England. He went to India. God placed a desire to go and serve him in India. And he went with his wife. And he was there for 40 years. And during that 40 years, he translated the scriptures into six major languages. And before he wanted to leave England, he went to the Baptist Mission Board, and they said, William, you're not ready for India. You're not fit to go. If God wants to save the heathens in India, he will do it by himself. You're not ready for that. And but eventually he went, and his wife died tragically with mental illness. One of his children died. And once all his manuscripts, those who opposed him in India, were in a warehouse, caught fire, all went in ashes and smoke. And he knew that God had called him to translate the scriptures. And he redid this translation into those six major languages. He was single-minded. God placed it on his heart, and he did it well. You know, my second point, I look at the clock and I've gone long. Running the race requires ambition. It's not only single-mindedness, but it takes ambition. You know, those who run the race, when they are going to their starting blocks to run the race, they know things can go wrong. A late start, another fellow runner can get into their path, they can trip and fall. Sometimes the wind might be against you, sometimes the spectators, the roar of the stadium can distract you. They know things can go wrong. But their ambition is to finish, to complete the race. And to finish the task, to complete the race, despite the
distraction in order to be a champion.
And I love this verse 24 that Paul says, however I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. Like the athlete, Paul's ambition was to finish the race and complete the task
the Lord Jesus has given him. Life or death was not an issue, but he wanted to finish it and magnify his the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to quickly show the next 4 or 5 minutes some slides of Sri Lanka, the work that we are involved in. So can I ask the sound people? Okay. So this is Sri Lanka, the island of Sri Lanka. And where we work is in the northern part, the northern right there. And there's a place called Kilinochi over there in the northern part. And that's where we base ourselves to serve God among the widows. And for the last 5 years, we have focused our work there. And we reach out to the surrounding villages where the widows live. We work with about maybe 6 or 7 pastors with whom we are working closely with. We have come to know them well. And this is where the minority of a group called the Tamil live. There was a huge civil war. Thousands of people died in 2009. The war came to an end. The government troops came, massed a lot of people, dropped bombs and shells. Many died. And out of that, the northern part, they wanted independence and freedom in the north. But many died, and some were brutally massacred. But today, there are many widows. Some say estimate about 40 to 50,000 widows scattered, living in remote villages. Go to the next picture. And this is one of the people that my wife and I meet quite often. This was the first project. The lady in the middle, she had 5 sons. All 5 sons died in the war. She lived in this hut, in a shack. She used to have wild elephants coming in, snakes coming in through the front door. What we did was raise the wall there for her. And so the first project, and I didn't know that we would get involved with this, but this is where the local pastor took us. And the bags that you see on the ground there are the food packers that we do distribute at least once or twice a year to different widows and single mothers. Next picture, please. This lady here is standing with her 2 children, the lady on the left, and she fought in the war. She was one of those soldiers. And while running for cover, one of the bullets went into her stomach. And the doctors managed to somehow get the bullet out. And unfortunately, some of the shrapnels from the shells pierced into her intestines. And some of the goat's intestines and her intestines are stitched together. But amazingly, she has come to know the Lord. She has opened her house, this small house, to have a time of worship every Sunday. Next picture, please. And she wanted a cow. We provided this cow to her. That's her son. Let's go on to the next picture. This lady next to my wife and myself, the lady standing in the middle, when we went there, she lives in that house in the background. And she has five daughters. She lives with three of those daughters in this house. And she came weeping to us. The man next to me is the local pastor. And she said, you know, I don't have a toilet. I don't have even drinking water. Can you help me? And she was weeping, and my wife had to comfort her. And so she said, my daughters and I, when we go to use a toilet, when we ask the neighbors say, no, you have to wait till we finish, and only then you can come and use the toilet. And when we heard this, we was really moved. We were really moved, and we just want to see this toilet built for her. Next picture, please. These are the kind of toilets we normally build. We have done quite several of these toilets now. Several means at least five of them. And we want to do this for this lady, this toilet. Okay, next one, please. This lady is, again, quite sad when I talk about this. Her name is Saroja. Saroja, her husband walked away from her about 10 years ago. He was heavily drinking in alcohol, and he just walked away. And one day, she had two daughters. One of them went to school. I think the daughter was 14 years of age. And she never came back after school. And today, that daughter, from what I know, is still missing. And then she goes to church, and one day, Sunday morning, she goes to church. She came back and found the water pump was also stolen. And she shared the story with me, and I thought, wow, how cruel can man be? And so we want to help her as well. We are in the process of helping her. So, next picture, please. Or is that the last one? Okay. So, yeah, so these are the type of videos that we see. We go twice a year, and we see about 25 to 30 videos on each of our trips. And it's heartbreaking stories, but it's been so meaningful and rewarding to reach out to these widows. Most of them do not know Jesus, and they have not heard Jesus even for the first time. But we are trying to show them, look, you are made in the image of God. God loves you. See, that's the where we work, in that top part of the map of Sri Lanka. It's a man's world. Women don't have any say. And we want to come alongside these widows and single mothers and say, look, you have dignity. God loves you. And Jesus loves you. And this is the kind of work we have been involved in. So thanks for praying for us. I'll finish here and hand it over to the leader of the service. But let's pray together. Dear Lord, there is so much on my heart that I would love to share. Oh God, we want to run the race, and we want to finish it well, like Paul did. If there was any person who could have given up, it would have been Paul, the Apostle Paul. Because he says in Scripture, he was flogged so many times, he went through shipwrecks, he was in prison, he had to cross rivers, he faced bandits, and he had so many lashes and beatings. He could have given up easily, but he persevered. And you built, you planted churches like in Ephesus because of his ministry. And Father, help us to be faithful to you. Help us to not to be distracted. Help us to walk closely with you. Help us not to be distracted in any way, but to glorify you and please you through our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.